Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and our text is from the first letter of the Apostle Peter, Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 33, and 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Turn with me first to Ephesians 5, 25 to 33, where we read, "Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Turn with me now to our text for this morning, 1 Peter 3, verse 7, where we read, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honour to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So far the reading. 1 Peter 3 verse 7, "Husbands, live in understanding with your wives, honouring them." I recently heard about a young man who met a girl at uni. He didn't know much about her, but from what he could see in class, she was quite intelligent and self-assured, and it didn't hurt that she was gorgeous too. Early one evening he got up the nerve to ask her out on a date, and to his surprise, she agreed. As they walked to the restaurant, he was impressed to hear that she had a black belt in karate. Suddenly someone jumped out from behind a bush, knife in hand, and demanded their money. Guys, what would you have done? What should you have done? Let me tell you what the young man did. He turned to his date and said, "Honey, he's all yours." Now we might say that's fair enough. After all, she was the one with the necessary skills to deck the robber. But that doesn't seem quite right, does it? Chivalry has gone out the window to a very large extent, hasn't it? Partially because of the effects of the feminist movement, and partially because men don't really know today what they ought and ought not to do. I'll let you think about this in your own time, but was turning this problem over to his date the honourable thing to do? Why am I using this example? Well, brothers and sisters, this morning we are looking at 1 Peter 3 verse 7, which outlines the role of the husband in marriage. The Apostle Peter has an unambiguous instruction to husbands, and he uses just one verse to lay it out. But before we get into that, let me just point out that we shouldn't make a big deal, as some have tried to do, about the fact that Peter uses 6 verses to speak to wives and just 1 to husbands. He's not letting the men get off scot-free, so to speak. If you can remember from last week's sermon on the first 6 verses of this passage, Peter was speaking to believing women who in Roman times were supposed and expected to follow their husbands' religions. They were in a disadvantaged position, and he would have wanted to make sure they understood what they had to do as Christian believers, how and why they had to conduct themselves in a particular way to win unbelieving husbands for Christ. And when he writes to the husbands, he's not being a shrinking violet by just spending one sentence on them. No, in fact, this sentence is packed with instructions and also with theological content. He tells them to live with their wives in an understanding way and to honour them. He doesn't just leave it there, though. He also gives them a reason. Do this, he says, because not only are your wives co-heirs with you of eternal life, but also do it so that your prayer life isn't impeded. So he gives husbands 2 commands and a dual motivation. They are to live in an understanding way, in verse 7a, and an honouring way, verse 7b, with a twofold motivation, verse 7c to d. Let's turn to the first command at the beginning of verse 7, which says, Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. The likewise or in the same way refers back to chapter 2 where we read about what Christian conduct should look like. Peter spoke first about our relationship to the state, then to those placed in authority over us, then to what a wife's conduct should look like, and now he turns his attention to husbands. In the same way that the other's conduct should be honourable, so too should the husband conduct himself honourably towards his wife. The first command Peter issues with regard to how the husband is to show this honourable conduct is to live with his wife. And this living with doesn't mean just put up with her or just grin and bear it. The word is a combination of together and house. It means being part of the same household. Remember that as husband and wife, we are meant to be one flesh. And that's not really quite possible if we're living apart, is it? If you're ever looking for a biblical instruction for a husband and wife to live together, you can't go much further than this. But it's not just about living in the same house. Peter goes on to talk about how that living together should be from the husband's side. It is to be with understanding. Now I know there will be some out there who may be thinking, what's Peter on about here? Is it even possible to understand one's wife? You know, like that well-known book from the 1990s says, men and women are so different, they might as well be from different planets. And friends, yes, men and women are different. As a general rule, men want to fix problems. Women want to share their feelings about those problems. The different way we look at things may cause conflicts. But even if one author suggests men and women, husbands and wives, might as well be from different planets, there's another author who gives us another perspective. That author is Peter, who tells husbands to understand their wives. More literally, he tells them to live with their wives according to knowledge. Be knowledgeable about your wife. And this knowledge that Peter talks about is more than that which the young man learned on his date and what she learned about him. This is about getting to know her inmost concerns and worries. It's about getting to know her desires and needs. And guys, this getting to know business has to do with being available, being there physically, but especially emotionally, and helping her to work through those issues or concerns or worries, even by just listening. That's part of what Peter was saying when he said, live with your wife, or to put it in more modern terminology, be there for her. And fellows, living in an understanding way also has two other aspects. The first of which is to understand that the two of you are not always going to see eye to eye on everything. Just ask any married couple. You may not even fully understand her point of view, but the call of God's word is to live in an understanding way. While it isn't quite the meaning of the word, perhaps a good way of thinking about this is to say we must act with grace. And that involves acceptance of her view as being valid. It involves not trying to dominate her so that she comes across to your point of view. I've left the third aspect of this understanding to last, but it is the most important of them all. Living in knowledge or understanding of your wife has to be based in what God's infallible word teaches you, not just about marital relationships, but about life. For you see, growing in our knowledge of the things of God imparts more wisdom into how we ought to live our lives. And as we spend time in His Word, as we allow ourselves to follow its instructions, as we let God's word inform our relationships, so our knowledge grows, our knowledge about each other, and especially about each other's roles in our marriages. After all, the one and only all-wise God has created us for each other, and His intention is not only for us to enjoy each other in every way, but to enjoy Him in our relationship too. The more we get to know God, the more we get to know what He wants for us in our marriages, and the more we can glorify Him in our marriages too. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty good incentive. Before we go on to the next part, let me just say that while this verse is directed at husbands, it doesn't mean that guys shouldn't do the same thing in terms of getting to know the girls they want to marry. Make sure that you get her before you get her to marry you. So Peter firstly tells husbands to get to know our wives and to live in a spirit of understanding. But there's another crucial part still to come. Listen to what Peter says in this part of verse 7. Show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Before we dig into what this honoring looks like in our lives, let's first address the big elephant in the room, the phrase that's caused so much offense in the past, the phrase about the woman as the weaker vessel. What does that even mean, and why is it offensive to so many? Let me be clear up front. This has absolutely nothing to do with spiritual strength or maturity. Yes, it has to do with strength, but only in the physical sense. I know that there are many women who are able to knock me down with one swing, perhaps even about what I'm saying right now. There are many who'd be able to outrun all the men we know, but in general, women aren't physically as strong or as muscly or as fast as men. That's the main reason we don't normally see men and women competing against each other. This is what this is about. But having said that, this has been interpreted in the spiritual sense too, like those who say that this is why women have to submit to their husbands. But this is so far removed from the pictures that are drawn for us in the first 6 verses of chapter 3, or by the writer of the Proverbs in chapter 31. No, friends. This has to do with the biological, physical stuff. With that out of the way then, let's look at what it means that a husband must honor his wife. Perhaps the best way of putting this is to say that besides living for Jesus in all that he does, a husband's first priority must be his wife. We get the same sort of picture from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he speaks about how wives and husbands should live with each other. But I want to put it another way too. A husband honors his wife by loving her, as Jesus loves her. And that honoring love consists of at least 7 things. It's firstly a sacrificial love. Jesus loves your wife with a sacrificial love, just as he loves you. Honoring your wife with this sort of love means dying to selfishness and taking up the towel and the basin, just as Jesus did. Sacrificial love means that instead of arriving at home after a brutal day and just plonking down on your favorite chair, you ask her and genuinely listen to her telling you how her day has been. Guys, is this the type of love with which you love your wives? An honoring love is also a sanctifying love. Jesus loves your wife by helping her to grow in holiness. It's the picture Paul paints for us too when he speaks of how the church is made holy through the love of Christ. And what a picture that then is for us of a husband who loves his wife with a sanctifying love. It's a picture of a God-focused husband who is an instrument in the hand of Jesus. Loving your wife with a sanctifying love means you would do anything to prevent her from being misled or corrupted by anything harmful. Do you, for instance, encourage your wife to go to the Bible study, even if it means you have to care for the kids by yourself for the whole evening? Brother, is your wife more like Christ because she's married to you, or despite being married to you? Honoring your wife also means loving her with a boundless and pursuing love. Let me ask you this. Does Jesus give up on loving your wife or you? Does he ever take a break from loving either of you? This is the type of love that honors your wife. And don't make a mistake, such a love also honors the Lord who created us all. Such an honoring love cherishes and nourishes the God-given marital relationship. Brothers, a marriage is not a set-and-forget thing. It takes work. It takes work through your conduct, through the way you listen, through the way you speak. And it takes work through the way you express your love. Can I urge each one of you this morning to keep pursuing your wives? Not physically, you've already got them, but from the heart. Honor her by showing her you're seeking a still deeper relationship with her. Show her that you delight in her and care about her affection. An honouring love is also forgiving. The love of Jesus for his bride, the church of all ages, was a forgiving love. It was gracious and it was given to undeserving people like you and me. And beloved, that's a picture of what the love of a husband for his bride should be like too. Just like you, your wife is sometimes going to make mistakes. She may even sin against you. Honoring her means forgiving her, freely forgiving, ungrudgingly forgiving, forgiving as Christ has forgiven. This may be the most Christ-like thing you may ever do. Honoring your wife also has to do with the way in which you treat her and speak to and about her. In other words, it's a respecting love. Just like wives are called to be pure and respectful, that's what honoring their wives ought to look like for husbands too. Respectful and pure conduct. It has to do with the attitude and the words you use when talking to her in front of the kids. Think back to the past week and think if your words were respectful, gentle, and courteous. And if they weren't, what do you plan to do about it? Honoring the love of your life has to do with how you treat her in front of other people, as well as when no one else is around, in the privacy of your bedroom, for instance. It has to do with how you speak to others about her. You know, saying things like, "You know what my wife is like," which cannot but give a negative impression about her to others. Honoring her has to do with how you conduct yourself with other women. Honoring her has to do with the type of magazines you read. Would you say that reading a pornographic magazine shows respect to your wife or is honoring to her, whether she knows about it or not? An honoring love is sacrificial, sanctifying, boundless, pursuing, forgiving, and respecting. And folks, lastly, honoring our wives also has to do with leadership. It's a guiding love, if you will. Being the head of the household doesn't mean having a domineering attitude. It doesn't mean having the right answer all the time. It's about admitting your mistakes and asking for help. It's about valuing your wife's input. It's about helping her to express and develop her God-given gifts. It's not about a right to command and control, but about a responsibility to love like Christ. It's about spiritual leadership. But how can we do that if we are not being led by God through his word and in prayer? Let me end this part by asking you, how much time do you spend in God's word? How much time do you spend in searching for his will in his word? How much time do you spend praying for his guidance in your life, and especially in how you are living honorably and understandingly with your wife? Brothers, this is crucial. You cannot be an effective leader of your household or an honoring guide and companion to your wife if you do not invest time with God and seek his amazing grace and leading in your life. Will you do that? Will you commit to doing that and follow through on it too? After reminding husbands that as followers of Christ, they are to conduct themselves honorably by living in an understanding way with their wives and honoring them, he goes on to give them a twofold motivation for doing this. Believing husbands of all ages are to live in this way with their wives because they are co-heirs of the grace of life. Men and women may be unequal from a physical perspective, but spiritually they are equal. They share in the amazing grace of God who has chosen them, made them his own, and has given them new life in Christ, eternal life. Peter's words remind us of what he said in chapter 1, that because of God's great mercy, all believers, including believing husbands and wives, have been born again to an imperishable and living hope that is kept safe for us in heaven. Jesus also delights in her. She too has been bought with his precious blood. She's priceless in the sight of the Lord. And friends, what great joy it should be to know that together the two of you are heading towards the great joy of heaven. Now I have to ask you, should this have a massive impact on how you live with and conduct yourself with your wife? If she's also an heir of all this, how in heaven's name can you not love and honor her and conduct yourself with grace towards her? Yes, even if she has an untold number of problems or flaws, she's just as much a child of God as you are, with all your issues and all your flaws. Peter also provides a second motivation for living in an understanding and honoring way with one's wife. Listen to the final words of verse 7, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Because this comes at the end of the verse of commands to a husband, we might think that the your prayers refers to the prayers of the husband only. But it's a plural word, and while it may refer to the prayers of the husbands, the more natural sense is that it applies to the prayers of husbands and wives together. As an example, let me briefly share with you the sad story of one of the great preachers of our time, someone who had counseled hundreds, if not thousands, of couples. But he and his wife just couldn't talk to each other, even after 33 months of counseling, let alone pray together. Their prayer life was stifled by their problem. You see, if there's that sort of a fault line in a relationship, or if a husband or wife doesn't treat the other one with respect and in love, then it's not just an emotional or physical separation, it's also a spiritual one. And beloved, this impacts terribly on the relationship with God. This is what Peter's driving at. Not honoring your wife wreaks havoc in your and her prayer life, which in turn harms your relationship with the one who has lifted you up from the depths of your sin. If you are a child of God, then surely you want to live in a closer relationship with your Creator. What a motivation that is to live in understanding with your wife and to honor her. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we were created as man and woman, as husband and wife, and we were created as God's image bearers. We were created for each other, but sin has warped that loving nature. But if we are in Christ, and if He lives in us, then husbands and wives can love each other the way that we should. In our passage today, Peter specifically speaks to husbands to remind them of that. The instruction of God's word through his apostle isn't confusing. It's not like society's norms that keep changing with the seasons, creating confusion and uncertainty. No, the instruction of God's word is straightforward, and it is beautiful in its simplicity. Husbands, live with your wives. Husbands, get to know your wives. Husbands, honor your wives. Husbands, do this, because your wives are co-heirs with you, co-heirs of eternal life. And husbands, do this so that your prayer life and that of your wife, those parts of your lives in which you commune with God, do not hit a roadblock. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that you will let your word sink into our hearts, that our minds will dwell on it and find the rich nourishment that it provides. Thank you, Father, that when you created this world, you created man and wife, and that you created them to join together as one flesh. Teach us and guide us, O Lord, to live together as husbands and wives in a way which is honoring to you. Teach us as wives to submit to our husband's headship, and teach us as husbands to really get to know our wives, to honor them, and to hold them up to you in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.